My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan. He represents the Buckeye State's 4th Congressional District, and he's also a member of the Select House Committee on Benghazi, which released its final report on Tuesday. That's what we'll be discussing for the next few minutes. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
You bet. Good to be with you today, Greg.
Let's listen to a couple of comments that you made at the press conference unveiling this final report, led by Chairman Trey Gowdy, of course. Your comments began with an important look at the consistency, or I guess more importantly, lack of consistency between what was being said in private in the wake of the Benghazi terrorist attack and what was being said publicly. Here's some of what you said.
Secretary Clinton issues this statement, the official statement on Benghazi, the official statement of our government that evening. Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material on the Internet. We know that statement was misleading because an hour later she told her daughter, terrorists killed two of our people today. The next day she tells the Egyptian prime minister, we know the film had nothing to do with it. It was a planned attack, not a protest.
And you say that even 3 days later, the same thing was happening. Here's more of what you said.
But that day, we have Mr. Carney at a press briefing saying this. No information to suggest Benghazi was a pre-planned attack. No information to suggest a pre-planned attack. That same day, State Department official in Libya says this. Benghazi was a well-planned attack.
Congressman, you actually asked Secretary Clinton about this at the hearing that she was part of last year, and she basically chalked it up to the fog of war. We didn't have all the information, and as time went on, things either became more confusing or more clear, and maybe it did play a role. Why the very different explanations in public and private?
Politics. They're 56 days before an election, 8 weeks out from an election. Libya was supposed to be their legacy. You know, we got an email from Sidney Blumenthal that Secretary Clinton says, you're vindicated. This is a great day that when Gaddafi is ousted, you're vindicated, your policy is vindicated. So a year before, she was the one who pushed forward. A year before when Gaddafi's ousted, they're doing victory laps. They're saying this is how foreign policy works. No boots on the ground. You can oust the dictator. This part of the Arab Spring. And then they have 13 months of all kinds of violence, all kinds of dangerous situations, assassination attempt on the British ambassador, the security situation deteriorates, and we stay when almost everyone else leaves. And then it happens. 56 days before an election, their narrative has been Al-Qaeda's on the run, GM's alive, Bin Laden's dead, and now they have four Americans killed in a terrorist act in Benghazi, Libya, and they have to mislead the American people because they can't tell the truth. You got to win an election. So that's why they did it, and they were consistent. Privately, they would tell the truth. Publicly, they would mislead. Privately, it's a terrorist attack. Publicly, a video-inspired protest that leads to this attack. So they did it every step of the way, Greg. It was done for political concern.
And the president was still using that explanation at a UN speech weeks later, I think about 2 weeks later, at the opening of the General Assembly. So what explanation, if any, have you ever gotten for this lack of consistency?
Well, all the evidence, and this is why Mike Pompeo and I wrote a separate report, because the full report's fine. We're fine with it. It answers the key questions about what happened, where they happened, when it happened, but it doesn't answer the why question. What was the motive? What was the motive to stay when everyone else was leaving? What was the motive to be talking about should military go in uniforms or civilian clothes, making them change clothes? What was the motive about talking about going in unmarked vehicles? And then what was the motive to mislead the American people and blame it on a film when everyone knew right from the start the film had nothing to do with it and there never was a protest in Benghazi? It was just a straight-on terrorist attack. What was the motive? Everything points to, the evidence clearly shows, the motive was political concerns outweighed everything else, including getting planes off the ground in a timely fashion to maybe get there in time to help Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty.
One of the most amazing parts of the press conference, Congressman, was after each member of the Republican side of the committee had spoken and had gone into great detail about things that had been learned and things that had been clarified or confirmed, the very first question from the press corps is, there doesn't seem to be anything new here. How frustrating is it to have the Fourth Estate so uninterested in getting to the bottom of this?
Yeah, we get hit with, $7 million, and it took so long. And I say, you know, things cost a lot less, and things move a lot faster when everybody works together. But when you had Democrats on the committee who didn't really want to help it, and you had an administration that did everything they could to put up impediments and roadblocks, blocking us from getting to access to certain witnesses and documents and information. It took a lot longer than we thought. We did uncover new information that's real important. I think we gave clarity to how it all played out and how politics drove the decision-making. But I think, frankly, we could have, there's more information that should be, that we should have access to that we weren't able to get to. And that's what's unfortunate, particularly for the families of four Americans who gave their life for their country.
Let me follow up on one area that Chairman Gowdy said that wasn't able to be pursued, and that is whether or not there was a secret weapons smuggling mission out of Benghazi and perhaps towards the Syrian rebels. He says ultimately the lawyers clogged that up and they couldn't pursue that as much as would have been liked. What did you discover on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, questions were asked, but they were not answered on that. So there's information we'd like to get access to that we just frankly couldn't get answers to. Sometimes that happens in these type of investigations, but it's unfortunate. We'd like to know, again, all the motives. We think the main motive is the one we described in our report, which was politics, political concerns. And what's interesting about that too, Greg, is they accuse, the Democrats say, you guys are playing politics going after the Democrat nominee. Look, we can't change the fact that she was Secretary of State. We can't change the fact that she's the nominee. I mean, I didn't vote for her for nominee. The Democrats did. I can't change any of those facts. But she was Secretary of State when four Americans were killed serving our country. And if anyone can level the political charge, it shouldn't be from them because politics started with them the night of the attack, before it was even over. Because remember, 10:08 when she issues that statement, Tyrone Woods is still on the roof of the annex fighting for his life. It's not until an hour and 10 minutes later, approximately 11:15, when the mortars hit the CIA annex building and take the life of Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods. So he's still fighting. At 10:08, she's already blaming a video in the official statement from our government that evening. So if anyone should be concerned about politics, they started the political spin right from the get-go.
Congressman, we've talked about the what and all the other W's, really, and you talked about your special report with Congressman Pompeo on the why. Given the evidence that you know, what do you believe should be the appropriate response, whether it's from the Justice Department or anyone else, to what you've uncovered and confirmed?
Well, I think this is where Chairman Gowdy said this, and I think Mr. Pompeo and I have said it as well, and other members of the committee. We'd encourage him to read Americans to read the report and make their own decisions. But ultimately, the way it works in our great country is the decisions about who governs us and who serves in positions of leadership made by we the people. So we encourage the people to read our report that Mr. Pompeo and I put together, 40-some pages, 50 pages. You can read it in 30, 40 minutes. We think, we'd like to think, it presents the facts in a clear and hopefully compelling narrative about what happened, when it happened, and most importantly, why it happened.
Two quick questions before we let you go. There's been a lot of discussion and speculation, really, about President Obama's activities during the attack, and there's been a lot of mystery because there hasn't been a lot of things discovered. Were you able to find out anything?
Not really. We're not even sure exactly what time he talked with Secretary Clinton. All she would tell us is that, during the open hearing, is that she did speak with him sometime that evening. We were trying to figure out before the 10:08 statement or after the 10:08 statement. My guess is it was before, but we don't know definitively when they spoke. It looks like, he only spoke once to the Secretary of Defense, and that was in a meeting that was an already scheduled meeting at 5 o'clock the night of the attack. So it's an interesting, we'd like to know more, but, we weren't able to get those answers from the White House.
And finally, Hillary Clinton, of course, is the presumptive Democratic nominee. She may well be the next president of the United States, which means she would be the commander-in-chief. Based on what you've learned as a result of this investigation, what kind of commander-in-chief do you think she'd be?
Well, I mean, who knows? What I hope happens is, look, I'm a Republican. I'm for the Republican nominee, and I think that's what's best for the country, and that's what I'll be trying to impact is maybe what small way that I can here over the next several months as we headed to the election.
Congressman, a lot of work. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Take care, buddy.
You bet, sir. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan represents his state's 4th congressional district. He's also a member of the House Select Committee on Benghazi. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.